So again, welcome, and we're going to just have like a 5 minute sit to arrive and get ourselves oriented towards tonight's class and discussion. So as you find your seat, whether it's on the floor, on a chair, on the couch, on a bed, wherever you are, breathing in, know that you have arrived on your seat or cushion. Breathing out, know that you have arrived. Let yourself really feel the breath coming in and out as you settle into your posture. Breathing in, I'm here for this evening session on Anapanasati. Breathing out, I'm here, present for this session. Knowing that we are all giving each other permission to have your breath be just what it is. Your breath in and out, perhaps smooth, perhaps rough, long or short, even with some of those, sometimes there's like a gasp type of thing in between. Whatever your breath is tonight, just breathing in, we're here together. Breathing out, we are here, here together. Whatever your individual process is when you've arrived for a meditation, whether it's an invitation to your mind to just quiet and be part of the observation of what's going to be happening, or whether you just set some clear intentions to stay focused with your, in this case, the breath. We're not really using other objects of meditation during this series. But whatever works for you to invite a settling, a quieting, a deeper sense of presence. And we each offer that invitation to ourselves with a gentleness, a kindness, an acceptance of this is the way the body and mind are tonight. This is who I am right now. This is how I've arrived. This kind invitation to be present, to participate, to relax. All good. I know that when my audio is on, it's noisy. I live on a very busy street, and right across the street from Lake Union, where Kenmore Air takes off often in these lovely nights. So apologies for all the sound. So again, welcome to everyone, and I think we've seen some new folks, and welcome back to the others. Just a reminder that this class that we're offering is a mutual exploration. The four of us who are offering it are, just like you all, we're at different points in our understanding of this sutta, our experience with practicing with it. Sometimes we, in this group, we might find that there are folks who are fairly new to meditation, and they may be folks who have had decades worth. But we're all exploring this together. We're learning, and even as we're guiding some of the series, we're learning along with you. So tonight's schedule, there will be a slight review of the Tetrad that Lyndall and Steve shared last week. There'll be a teaching about the new four-piece Tetrad that we're working with tonight, which is the breathing and awareness around feelings. So Lauren will be giving that talk and guiding our meditation. We'll have time for discussion afterwards. And before we do the lead into this new breathing it with feelings, we have a few minutes to just hear from people. How did things go last week with practicing with breathing with the body? All the different aspects of breathing with the body, knowing when we're breathing long, knowing when we're breathing short, breathing with the entire body. And we would so welcome people being willing to share how that was for you. And there's, you know, we're a very kind, accepting, safe sangha. So it could be that it was hard, or it was confusing, or it was easy, or it was a good learning, or it was all along the different continuum. We always learn so much when people are willing to share. So and you're going to be able to unmute yourself. And we have a good 10 or 15 minutes to hear how this was going for people. Julie, thank you for being brave to start us off.
You're welcome, Suze. And I'm bummed that I just totally spaced out last week and missed it. But I have a little bit of experience working with this Anapanasati, thanks to Lauren, actually. Just a couple of observations for me. The breathing in long, and know you're breathing in long, and breathing out, and then the short. For me, I find it more helpful to think of it as deep versus shallow. But I find that like they tie in really well together, like deep and long, and then, you know, when you get really calmed down. I remember when I read my first book about this, I totally misunderstood it, and I was, you know, short breathing, and I thought, this is winding me up. Is it supposed to wind me up? So that's my funny story. And then the other thing I wanted to mention in my experience that, and again, apologies if this is a repeat, but the aware of the whole body, I found it really helpful to think of or, you know, the breath body, but like the energy body, as in a body that doesn't end, you know, where our skin ends, but really, really trying to sense into that whole energy with the breath, I've found really helpful too. And I'm super excited to hear Lauren's talk tonight. Thanks,
Julie. And thanks for that sharing. Anna, and then Julie and Jude.
Everybody, yeah, thank you. I usually do a more kind of open practice, like an awareness practice. So it was really kind of cool this week to have some focused instructions to be following. And I found that even in my 45 minute sit, sometimes I never got even to the fourth step. Like, it was a good mindfulness bell in itself. Like, I'm off doing my thinking thing. And then I was, oh yeah, where was I even in this kind of program, this 4-step program? So that was one of the main things, was it was just nice to have a change and something more specific and something that tethered me more to, it was like a mindfulness bell, like I said. And then the other part was how Steve said something. He kind of just tossed it off last week, but he said something about the difference between sort of thinking about breathing and actually feeling the breathing, the difference between like the concept and the experience. And that was another angle that brought me into the practice this week was what am I actually feeling? What is this experience? It helped me get closer to I was going to say like stimulus, then otherwise I might've been like, yep, I know I'm breathing. No, I'm, you know, breathe in, breathe out. No, you're breathing. Yep, I know I'm breathing. But this had a more focused depth to it, a more precision that kept my attention on the object more. That's it. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Wow. This is so great. So Julie C. and then Jude. I have a lot of J names tonight.
Sorry, my cat is feeling clingy. I just wanted to say that I really liked the part of breathing with your whole body. I've struggled with breathing like my whole life for some reason, like even though I've been practicing for quite a while and I do yoga and all these things that require mindfulness of the breath, but it somehow is always been challenging for me to, breathe mindfully and have it be kind of relaxing. But breathing with the whole body has really helped me, especially in the middle of the night, and it helps me get back to sleep. And it's a really nice visual and concept and just for me to practice with. So just wanted to say that.
Thanks, Julie. And I'm glad it's being useful. Jude, please.
Hi, everybody. I'm on oxygen, and so I pay attention to my breathing all the time, and probably more than most, and sometimes too much, I think. So what I enjoyed about the practice this week was the idea of breathing into your whole body, getting it, moving it away from just my lungs, breathing in my lungs, breathing out my lungs. You know, that I know really well, but mm-hmm. breathing my whole body is not a thing I'm aware of. And it really, like, you know, when you add spaciousness to the mix, things can kind of calm and relax a little bit. So it mm-hmm. felt like another possibility to work with that I haven't really used before. So I was grateful for that.
Wow, great. And it's so nice to see that people are also making it their own, however that's going to work best for you. Judith, and then Shashi.
I found it really interesting. In the past, I don't think I ever stayed with the breath through a whole meditation. I would start meditating on the breath, focusing on the breath, and then wander away to something, maybe sound or I don't know what. And for some reason, I just found it really boring, right? And like I have to be entertained when I'm meditating. And but when we did it last time, I did stay with it, and until I think I mentioned last time, the body was like breathing itself. And I found that really, really took me to a very deep place. And so I did work with that a lot this week, and I found it, I'm really starting to like it. And
it's
I'm
not
also,
so boring.
it's not as boring as I thought it was. And, and I'm also trying to transfer it a bit to daily life, because when I start rushing around, I find I'm holding my breath. And just the idea that I don't have to, the body's going to breathe itself. I don't have to control it. Is beginning to be useful.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. Okay, Shashi.
Thank you. So, for the sake of sharing, I had a similar experience as June, in that. With my normal meditation, I watch my breath. And during the course of meditation, there's a short breath and there's the long breath. So that was something I was familiar with. But then when it got to breathing with the whole body, and then the fourth part, breathing while you're relaxing, or bringing the body to relaxation, that was a bit more challenging, in the sense that it's not something that I was that I did in the past, yeah. But definitely a useful exercise. So,
well,
thank
great.
You.
Well, it's sounding like the folks are finding this a useful part of their practice, which is just what we were hoping for. And we've got probably another minute or so, if people want to share anything else. When I was on, I just was on a month-long retreat, and had been reading Larry Rosenberg's book, Breath by Breath, and so was using some of it on my retreat. And sometimes what I would do, and I know it's not part of the tetrad, but I actually combined very focused breathing with a body scan, and I would breathe into my toes and my ankles and different parts, and it changed the body scan for me, which I've done before, probably most of us have. It felt like, you know, in yoga we are often instructed to send breath to a certain part of your body, and I don't know if I've ever been very skillful at that, but it was really useful to settle me down and know that the whole body was breathing, because I was sending breath to these different parts. Anyone else want anything to share? Did anyone find it just like, I don't know what words, what adjectives I want to use, hard, unhelpful, pain, you know, boring, useless. You know, I think that's okay too. There are lots of different ways that we bring in techniques to our meditation, and I'm not trying to, you know, create something that wasn't there, but if it's there, there's certainly permission. Okay. Well, thank you all. And I'm going to turn it over to Lauren.
Okay. Hello, everyone. It's really nice to see so many people back from last time, and some new people, too. So, tonight, I'm going to start with talking a little bit about the new tetrad, the new group that we're going to work with tonight. So we're moving on to steps 5 through 8, which focus on, as Sue said, feelings, the Vedanas, And they venture into the mind also, because feelings arise with mental activity. You know, they're connected. So there are four groups in this feeling tone tetrad, four instructions. And these are all the groups are focused on the same objects as the Satipatthana. So this is a similar a similar meditation practice in that way, but as someone said, it's more precise and more specific. There's a more of a little structure that supports us. And so we're going to explore this one today. We started with the body, and we're going to start again with the body, since these 16 tetrads are progressive. They are an experience that we're going to do the whole thing again, but we'll just go more quickly through the first four. The body is an extremely important area of practice, because the Buddha says that wisdom, insight, awakening come not from belief, but from our own direct experience. So this practice with Anapanasatisuti really builds a foundation with the body to start with. Mindfulness of the body anchors us in our direct experience, and the breath being an aspect of the body also anchors us in our direct experience of the moment. The first four instructions help us develop bare attention, seclusion from distractions, and the simplicity of just this. And that provides a foundation for subsequent instructions. And it's a foundation of calm, where we can rest and abide and return to. And it also gives us a growing confidence that we can settle, at least for a while. One little problem with the 16 instructions that the teacher, Gil Fronsdal, mentioned was that it assumes that it doesn't tell us about any challenges we might have with these 16 instructions. And I got some insight from Steve's talk last week, because he explained that the Anapanasutta was delivered to these very skilled monks. And we're not all skilled and experienced monks. So we are going to have, even though the challenges don't come up in the instructions, we will be having some challenges. We're going to meet the hindrances, as we usually do when we meditate. So it's important to remember to be really patient and humble as we train our mind with these instructions. We need to remember that this is a progressive training of the mind over time that builds a foundation and gains momentum over time. And as Lyndall said in her email about the homework last week, she said, let the emphasis be on calm and relaxation as you breathe in and out. Don't try too hard. When the mind wanders, just come back to the breath, gently without judgment. Let the mind settle naturally and trust that the mind can settle naturally. So with that, we are going to move on to the guided meditation, and we're going to start with the body group, just like we did last week. So I'm going to ring one bell, and at the end I'll ring three. Find a comfortable position if you haven't already. Relaxing any body tension that you notice. All of the instructions for the Anapanasutta begin with this message from the Buddha, establishing mindfulness to the forefront. I breathe in with mindfulness, and I breathe out with mindfulness. And let's just take a minute to bring mindfulness to our normal, ordinary breath in whatever way that feels natural and easy for you. Breathing in, breathing out. If it's helpful, you can note with words to yourself, breathing in, breathing out, or simply in, out. Or you can be silent. Just being aware of your ordinary, normal breathing, nothing special, always with you. This mindfulness of breathing will continue throughout the whole meditation. The instructions will point out more things to attend to, but always the breath will be there, like a thread of continuity. It might be helpful to frame the breathing as breathing with something or through something, depending on the specific instructions. So it might be breathing with the belly or breathing with the rising of the belly. Breathing with the falling away, or breathing through the chest, or breathing through a feeling. It's just a way to bring home the felt sense of the breath, if you'd like. The actual instructions begin with 1 and 2 together. While breathing in long, I know I'm breathing in long. While breathing out long, I know I'm breathing out long. While breathing in short, I know I'm breathing in short. While breathing out short, I know I'm breathing out short. You don't need to make your breath long or short. While breathing in, we're just interested in the quality of that inhalation. And while breathing out, we're interested in the quality of the exhalation. So this is a time to develop interest in the breath. In whatever way it is. Breathing in with the breath, whatever way it is. Breathing out with the breath, whatever way it is. The quality of the breath might be coarse or fine, jagged or smooth. However it is, this is the way it is, and we're interested in it, and we pay attention to it. We observe and allow whatever form the breath takes. when we lose our connection to the breath, which we will, we simply come back and continue. This practice of mindfulness of breathing is for the long haul. It's a training. It's a training in relaxing and trusting that the body and the mind know how to learn. We contribute to the conditions that support the learning, but we don't control the learning. We can relax much of the doing and spend more energy on knowing and seeing and understanding and to connecting to whatever is present. You might notice where in the body you have a felt sense of the breath, in your most easily, like in your belly or your chest, at your nostrils, or maybe the felt sense fills your whole body. Feel free to come up with your own descriptive words or let the words drop away. If words support the instructions, use them. And when they don't support, no need to use them. Notice any subtle pleasure you might feel from breathing in and out. Any pleasure in the simplicity of this natural, ordinary experience. Moving on to step three, the instruction is, one trains oneself sensitive to the whole body. I breathe in, sensitive to the whole body. I breathe out. Pleasant body sensations and unpleasant sensations. Everything belongs. Nothing left out. You might try breathing through any pain or contraction, or breathing with any pain or contraction. Notice how releasing feels. Releasing through the whole body. And then releasing a little more. Softening edges. And widening. Throughout the whole body. We are building a foundation for the mind and body and the heart to connect in the body. Moving on to step four. The instruction is, one trains oneself, calming the whole body. I breathe in. Calming the whole body. I breathe out. Be interested in bodily calm where however it is felt. Explore the body. The calming may be subtle. Be patient. Allow the calm to expand and continue. The calm might contribute to a sense of well-being or harmony or something else. See if you're connected to the breathing still. If not, simply return to the breathing. The next four instructions focus on feeling tones and mind activities. These are instructions for steps 5 through 8. Instruction 5 is one trains oneself, sensitive to rapture. Sensitive to rapture, I breathe in. Sensitive to rapture, I breathe out. We're not going to limit ourselves to the feeling of rapture. Different translations use different words for step 5. Many use joy for this step. For those monks to whom the Buddha was talking in the sutta, rapture or piti might have been a good choice. I'm going to suggest tonight that we start with several options, and you can choose what feels right and resonates with you. So the instruction might go like this. One trains oneself, sensitive to well-being, or one trains oneself, sensitive to gladness. Or one trains oneself sensitive to appreciation or joy take a moment to sense which kind of feeling, tone, or emotion is easiest for you to connect with right now. It doesn't even mean you have to feel it in the moment. You can just be sensitive to it because you know you have the capability for this feeling, or you know it's nearby, accessible. Or you feel a friendliness toward it. This is a place to start. It can be subtle and it doesn't have to be perfect. So sensitive to whatever that feeling, tone, or emotion is, I breathe in. Sensitive to whatever feeling, tone, or emotion, I breathe out. Noticing any degree of pleasant at this point as you continue to be mindful of breathing in and breathing out, breathing with the feeling, breathing in and out. With this mindfulness of breathing practice, subtle is significant. Over time, subtle sensations and states deepen and transform. Often we miss what is significant, not because it is really insignificant, but because the mind hasn't been trained yet to pay attention to it. Often the spiritual, otherworldly aspects of experience don't sparkle and aren't so enchanting as some of our conditioned desires. We're used to jumping for joy when we finally get what we want after so long, but maybe with this step five, we can begin to connect with another kind of subtler joy. In this step, we turn inward to see if we can sense an inner wellspring bubbling up from inside that might satisfy in another way. Spend some time breathing in and breathing out, sensitive to whatever kind or degree of joy you sense. not to exclude rapture or delight or more intense emotions. We might say, sensitive to a joy that will at some point include rapture, I breathe in. Sensitive to a joy that will at some point include rapture, I breathe out. Moving on to step 6, one trains oneself. Sensitive to happiness and contentment, I breathe in. Sensitive to happiness and contentment, I breathe out. As the joy of step 5 intensifies, a calmer, more sustainable feeling of contentment arises. This is sukha in Pali. Breathing in, sensitive to the calming pleasure of sukha. Breathing out, sensitive to the calming pleasure of sukha. Relaxing into the calming pleasure, contentment, happiness of sukha. Breathing through or with the body, breathing through the breath, soothing the mind. The pleasant feeling creating an inner ease with conditions just as they are. Letting go of having to do anything. This is good enough. Not perfect, but good enough. Moving on to step 7, one trains oneself sensitive to mental activities. I breathe in. Sensitive to mental activities, I breathe out. We can observe activities of the mind with a calm heart because we can keep in touch with the calm body, the feelings of well-being, and with the present moment awareness of the breath as a grounding. We can see and allow the mental activity with a little space between us and the activity. with a perspective. This is just what the mind is doing, just what the mind does. We connect to the breath and the calm and the feeling of well-being. And we feel a sense of a container to meet the thoughts and hold the thoughts and emotions without identification. Hindrances can arise. Aversion, desire, doubt. See them without judgment. We're aware of the mental activity, but we don't go into the personal or the content or the specifics. We're just aware of a sense, oh, this is mental activity. In general, we stay at that distance. We're curious about mental activity as a phenomenon. Where does it fit in this Anapanasati mindfulness of breathing practice? This might be challenging. We might lose our mindfulness. We need to come back to it. We might have to go back to instructions number 1, 2, or 3. That's okay. When we don't engage with mental activity for one in-breath, one out-breath, that's good. When we continue this practice, we might notice how the activity gradually quiets. But we can start with one in-breath and one out-breath. Maybe 2 in-breaths and 2 out-breaths. Just be curious and see how it goes. Moving on to step 8, the last in this group. One trains oneself, calming mental activity. I breathe in, calming mental activity. I breathe out. Calming mental activity. remembering, calming the body formations. That's a foundation. Remember mindfulness of breathing. That's a foundation. Keeping in mind the quietness of the mind for a duration of one in-breath. Keeping in mind the quietness of the mind for a duration of one out-breath. Breathing in, the mind is quieter. Breathing out, the mind is quieter. And when it's not, coming back and starting again. When it happens, appreciating the quietness of the mind.
Thank you, Lauren, for that just lovely, wonderful set of invitations to practice in this way. I don't know about the rest of you. I feel pretty relaxed and calm. Feels good. So we have time to talk with each other about how is that for you? How is that the instruction, both the reminder from the first tetrad on the body, and then as Lauren moved us into feeling tone and mind. You can unmute or raise your hand. I can actually on my monitor see everybody. So if you just go like that, that's okay too. While people are deciding what they're going to say, I really appreciate the division that tonight we were just going as far as noticing the mental formations, just noticing the mental activities and not getting into the content of them. That's on next Thursday. And what an interesting and process of doing that and noticing that there is content, but we're not going there. And I really appreciated how this is set up. Lindell, please go ahead.
This is such a nice, lovely meditation that I really felt a lot of calm and quiet, and the mental formations were pretty darn quiet too, surprisingly so. Yeah. But I've had, you know, other experiences, like when working with this set of stuff, when rapture arises and gets strong, you know, so there's really a lot of delight, feelings and bliss, feelings, and it gets in the body and it's like, ooh. When that happens, there's all kinds of mental formations that arise. You know, it's like liking and wanting and how can I get more of this, and fantasies that might make the feelings even better. So when that's going on, that instruction to be aware of those mental formations, I found it just be really, really good advice to notice them and then bring some calm to them. Because at least for me, if I don't do that and there's a lot of energy in the body and pleasant feelings in the body, my mind just goes nuts with it. And so I gotta recognize that that's happening and calm it. So that might also be another way that this tetrad plays out. More like if you're on a retreat, so you have more time for those feelings to develop than in daily practice.
Yeah.
But it could be like that too.
Boy, really, really good reminder. When I was on retreat recently and had such a full-blown hindrance attack of doubt that manifested and spiraled into fear and, oh my God, and what does it mean, and such a thing. And when I then spent some time and saw through that and realized how I was creating that suffering and creating the conditions for the doubt to arise, there was such rapture. There was just this exhilaration, and I didn't have this instruction right there handy, and I got very caught up in wanting that. And I remember going and talking to one of the teachers that morning and sharing my exhilaration, and then by evening it had gone away. And I felt such such a letdown from the loss of the rapture, and didn't realize, I think, I knew I got connected to the impermanence piece, and that was good, but I didn't understand what just the mental formations that had come and gone and changed, and looking at it that way. And as I look back, that would have been really useful for me. So thank you so much, Lyndall, for
really, it is really useful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your example was great too.
Please, Lauren.
Yeah, thank you. Lyndall and I are going to be doing next week. And we haven't planned it, but I was thinking that next week we would really focus when we get to this, because we'll review, you know, this tetrad next week. I was thinking that then we will go to the rapture and the kinds of things you're talking about, Lyndall. Because there is definitely an aspect to rapture that needs to be, you know, it's helpful to know about, because I also, the first time I was exposed to rapture in any form, I didn't know what it was coming from. I was totally clueless, and I just had no idea. So, yeah. So I'm glad you brought that up, Lyndall, because that's, yeah.
And what you're all talking about really is the reminder of the language of the sutta, that we're training ourselves. And that it really reminds me that this is a training. So when we experience these different things, the trainings really are helpful so that we don't just get gone crazy or thrown off or Yeah, so thank you all for that. Joyce, please.
Hi, I have a question for Lauren. Like, I'm a little bit confused as to how we're to be practicing with this. I mean, the first two steps of this tetrad say experience joy while breathing in and out. And the next one says experience pleasure while breathing in and out. So is it your understanding that we should be cultivating joy and pleasure in these first two steps, which would involve mental formations, probably along with, you know, feelings and that, but it seems to be a more, the mind or the is more active in these instructions. Is that, or are we just, focusing on the breath and then noticing if joy or pleasure comes up?
Well, I think it depends on the teacher. Like the instruction will say, you know, I don't have it in front of me. I breathe in sensitive to pleasure. The teachers I've been listening to have more suggested that it's not so much a cultivation, but it's an opening to an allowing, because each step is kind of like a transcendental dependent arising. Each step conditions and makes it more available. So the way I've been practicing is that you're not actually cultivating necessarily, but you're opening to, I guess it might be cooperating with or accompanying, or I've just seen it a lot of different ways. And I think Lindell could probably talk about it in a different way, but it is more that you start. Like it's there, like it's a wellspring that's in us, and we're just opening to its availability. We're saying, I will receive this. It's the idea of it's a really tricky part of this, I think, is that. I've seen, like, Joseph Goldstein has a talk on rapture, and he says, I'm going to use happiness, rapture, well-being. I'm just going to use them interchangeably. That to start with, like in step five, which is the first introduction of this, these kinds of feelings, it's to be open and have trust and faith and confidence that the whole continuum of pleasure, you know, spiritual, wholesome pleasure, anywhere on that path, open to it, you know, see what's available to you, and it will lead to the others. That's just my personal experience and the people I listen to, like Gil Fronsdale and Mark Nunberg, they keep using the words interchangeably. Some use happiness, some use, you know, joy, some use pleasure. So, you know, and you just see the terms themselves used in different ways. So did I answer that question at all?
Yeah. I'm trying to get the feel of what you're saying. So you're saying, no, it's not a cultivation. And it's not really a passive noticing. It's kind of opening yourself to what's available.
As I said, we're exploring this like you. And Gil Fronsdale's, his talks are really helpful in this respect. So I would suggest him. He's an expert. I'm not.
Okay. Thanks, Lauren.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd like to throw in a couple thoughts about it. that one of the ways I think about it is being aware of our negativity bias, which is so prevalent in our minds and lives, that opening to what else is here. Sometimes it's a physical sense of pleasure because nothing hurts. Everything's pretty calm and relaxed, and sometimes it's a sense of gratitude that feels a sense of pleasure. Like I've known Jude for a long time, and I appreciate her health status, and I'm so grateful for my lungs, for my healthy lungs, and there's a kind of well-being that comes from appreciating the health of my body. So I think it's that's another aspect of that opening, so that we recognize that we have kind of that inclination towards the negative, to look at what's wrong. It's not just you and me, Joyce, but it's all of us. You know, teachers talk about that all the time. And so just having that container of openness, I think, allows what else is there. And I saw Kim first and then Linda.
I just wanted to kind of piggyback onto what that question about cultivating joy and happiness. And like the thing that came to me was to like breathe into my heart, to feel the joy, to feel. And so that really got me feeling a lot of love and joy. Mm-hmm. And then also, like, I've heard, I think it's Tara Brach, you know, breathing, seeing a smile or having a smile on your face, mm-hmm. a small smile. And that really kind of elicits a lot of joy and happiness for me. And that was what naturally arose when uh-huh. you said, you know, breathe into or feel the joy and happiness. So I don't know if that's...
I think that sounds great. I mean, and it just was so natural for you. And Thich Nhat Hanh often leads, or used to lead, things similarly, where you breathe in a sense of ease and breathe out with a smile. And so it's lovely, Kim, that it just happens so easily and naturally for you. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Lyndall?
One of the ways that the kind of happiness and joy comes for me is, you know, sort of paying attention to the breath or the body. When the attention just really starts to come in really close and get real intimate with what is going on, there's just this joy in just knowing the breathing, kind of that delight in knowing, that kind of joyful interest feeling. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think about is as what's really welling up into this rapture. Mm-hmm. And it's a terrific, terrific kind of feeling. And it's all just from really having that, the attention really getting in there and really being intimate and just loving your object, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're really paying attention to it.
Thank you, Lyndall. It also so ties into what we're studying all year long at Seattle Insight of Transcendental Dependent Arising, which I know it's also sequential, but also goes back and forth. And one of the steps is that clear seeing. And sometimes when in meditation, when there's, you know, the mind is doing whatever it's doing, or and you see clearly what's happening, and it's not deluded thinking, and it, there is that sense of joy that the practice is working. Anyone else who would like to share anything? We're coming to our close. close for this evening. And Lauren, please.
I guess I would like to add that the same as with Kim and Lindell, that for me, the reason I say it's not a cultivation necessarily, but maybe it is, the fact of turning to a place within. And it's like the breathing is really a key, is where I start feeling that, oh, there is that joy, there is that feeling. And it is, like you said, Lindell, it could be any part of the body, but for me, it's the breath, and it's because that's the present moment. So there's kind of a purity in it, and it's inward, and I feel it. It's really in my body, and then there's just this, you know, and I'd call it joy. Sometimes I'd call it whatever, happiness, whatever, well-being. Sometimes I'd call it delight. But it's definitely an intimacy connection, which I think Kim was talking about and you were talking about too. But the breath, having the breath go through the whole 16, I think that has really, if the continuity really builds that connection and the presence of it, the real presence.
Thank you. Anyone else? I'll probably have another minute or two before we close. Really encourage you to review the resources that we sent out and all these tetrads, and play with them. See what works for you. And starting with the first four and however long you spend with them, and then moving along to feeling tone and beginning to sit and breathe with the mental formations. Really encourage you to give this a good shot. And next week, the Zoom link is the same. Lauren and I will send out a little something. We were inspired by what Lindell sent out after the first week. Let's just get back into this place of quiet attention and feel the appreciation of coming together as a Sangha, practicing appreciation for the gifts of our practice, the discernment that we gain, the settledness. I don't know what other people's lives are, but my life, I was always kind of at a state of restlessness and a buzziness, and learning that that didn't have to be my normal state has been a real gift. And for others, I think you probably have also learned some things of what the practice has given you. So in recognition of our sincerity and the wisdom that has been shared and the vulnerability and honesty, we dedicate the merit of our practice to everyone here, to those people in our lives who could use a little extra of this gift of clarity and calm and joy and understanding. And then we send out to all beings everywhere, may all beings be free from suffering. May all beings find ease and well-being. So nice to spend this evening with everyone. Deep appreciation for you all. And have a lovely week. And we'll see you all here next Thursday. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.